Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
When Jesus wanted to describe a kind of joy that surpassed all circumstances, he used the word blessed. And it might surprise you what qualities of life truly bring blessedness. Stay tuned next with Dr. Chappell as we study on Daily in the Word, the life God blesses. Pretty much everybody wants to be happy. We all long for an inner joy and delight, a sacred blessedness that rises up above every bad day and every season of discouragement. And that's the kind of word Jesus used when he described the joy he brings throughout the circumstances of life. He used the word blessed. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the life God blesses, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's probably going to surprise you what God truly calls blessed. Before we join the program, I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to Dr. Chappell's newest resources and books and many other things to help you along in your spiritual growth and your walk with God. And so, dailyintheword.org, it's a resource, a treasure box of resources for your spiritual growth. Right now, let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. Today, we examine verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Here's Paul Chappell.
We live in a society that is constantly telling us that experiences and possessions will bring happiness to our life. The travel agency tells us that if we travel and have experiences of that nature, then certainly that would bring joy. The car companies tell us that if we purchase a certain model of a car, then certainly that would bring some kind of joy in our lives. Friends at work sometimes talk about things that they have accomplished or things that they possess, and they tell us that these things have brought great joy to their lives. And yet, when you really study the truth of the matter, just as soon as that new car has a dent in it, the joy starts to subside. Just as soon as the vacation is over and the MasterCard bill comes in, the joy begins to subside. And a mature Christian is someone that really knows that experiences and possessions, apart from character in our hearts, are empty illusions. A mature Christian is someone that knows true joy comes from a heart relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the pure-hearted Christian is someone that is truly blessed with God and God alone. They are satisfied in their relationship with God. I was out calling with my wife some time back, and we were down in the Los Angeles area making some hospital visits, and I took a wrong turn. I wasn't lost, of course. And I was just driving around. And as we were driving around, we got into a pretty rough area. And we were noticing some of the dilapidated buildings and all of the liquor stores and all of the sites in this particular area where we were driving around. And we began to reminisce. And we were talking about when we were first married nearly 17 years ago. And we began to talk about our first apartment where we lived in Upland, California. Of course, just a one-bedroom apartment. We had a bed and a chair, and that was it. We ate at the chair, and we had all of our fellowship there on that chair that was a recliner that wouldn't recline back. It just stayed open in the open position. And we talked about our meals, the macaroni and cheese, several times a week. It was my wife knew how to make macaroni and cheese in several different ways, and we were just talking about those early days, and I said, "Honey, let me ask you something." I said, "Could you truly be happy if we were to go there right now today and live in that apartment and live under those circumstances?" And she said, "Honey, If we were right with God and if we had the love of God, I most certainly could be happy there in a moment. Now that's the sign of someone who in their heart is truly content with the Lord. Someone who understands that the blessings of this life, though undeserved, we're to be grateful for them. Those blessings, though, in the physical sense, do not truly bring happiness into the life of someone or into the life of a family. Oftentimes, a new married couple starts off charging to buy a television, to buy a living room set, to buy this, to buy that. And 2 or 3 years later, they're in for marriage counseling and they figured out none of that brought joy to the marriage. And much of my life is spent talking to people who believe that a change of circumstances is what they need. In other words, if they got a new job or if they'd get a promotion at work or if they got a new wife maybe. Or if they got maybe some new possession, if they could live in another state, that really some change of circumstance would really change their life, when in reality what they need is a change of their own heart. A change of heart. I remember when I moved to Seoul, South Korea, my parents were missionaries there, and frankly, those first several months were very difficult for me. I had just started in high school. We were getting ready to have our football season, and I was excited about getting a driver's license, and now our family moved to Korea. And though that was somewhat exciting, it was also somewhat of a lonely feeling. And I remember during those first several months especially being quite unhappy. And looking back, I can see that in my heart, there was a rebelliousness towards the will of God, and there was a rebelling towards being uprooted maybe from some friends. And I was certain that the reason, however, that I was so unhappy was because of where I lived. And I was sure that the root problem was having to live in a foreign country where I couldn't talk to anyone, where I couldn't eat Big Macs. And that's tough. And I was convinced that that was the problem. My surrounding, surely, that was the problem. But there came a point in my life when I heard a message preached, and I went to an altar to pray to God, got some things right in my heart. And to the glory of God, I can say that my life was changed and my joy was renewed, and I didn't even have to move out of Korea for that to happen. I just needed my heart to get right. Issues of the heart are so important. And sometimes, friends, some of you may be here today thinking, if you could just change your circumstances, if you could just change your address, if you just didn't have so many problems, then surely you'd be happy. And I'm here to say this morning, you can change every circumstance and still be unhappy if your heart is not right with God. Now I want you to notice this verse this morning. Blessed are the pure in heart. And there's going to be 3 points this morning, and you may want to take notes. First of all, this morning, the definition of pure in heart. I want to give you a definition of pure in heart. And we're going to start with the word heart. And I want you to take note of what this word means, because sometimes we use it. We say, accept Jesus in your heart, and someone looks at you like, what are you talking about? When we use the term heart, we're not speaking of that muscle that's pumping the blood around our body this morning. The word heart in the Bible means the whole inner self, the totality of your innermost being. The whole inner self, or the totality of your innermost being. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now there are 3 areas that we can identify which appertain to the spiritual heart of a man. First of all, there is the emotions. And the Bible speaks of the heart as being the seat of our emotions. In John 14:1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And our heart is the seat of our emotions. And secondly, it is also a place where we can refer to the intellect. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 8, Jesus said, why reason ye these things in your hearts. So we can refer to the intellectual part of man also as the totality of his innermost being. There's the emotional part, there's the intellectual part, and then another scripture speaks about the will of a man. And that's in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. A wonderful verse where the Bible says in Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And sometimes as Christians, we make a decision in a service and we say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be faithful in church. I'm going to abstain from wickedness. And that's the will that we're exercising. And that's from the heart. That's the totality of the innermost being willing to do right and to abstain from doing wrong. And that's a decision that is made from the heart. And really every Sunday morning we should come and we should say, Lord, work on my heart today. Help me to be as concerned about my spiritual life as I am about my cholesterol or my physical heart. Help me to be concerned about my spiritual heart. So the heart affects the emotions, the intellect, and the will. Now, when someone accepts Jesus as their Savior, then they are exercising their will from the heart. They are making a choice from their heart. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And so Christ indwells the life of the believer, the innermost being of a believer, when a person puts faith in Jesus Christ. Yesterday morning, had the opportunity and privilege to visit a dear lady, and as we were there with her and her husband talking about Christ and the gospel and sharing scripture, she began to ask some questions and was concerned about whether she would be accepted by God or by a church, and we began to share with her that God loves her and that our church loves her, and began to go through all these scriptures about the love of God. And there came a point in that conversation where she said, can I receive Jesus now as my Savior? Well, I said, you sure can. And she prayed at her kitchen table and she accepted Jesus Christ into her heart by faith and was saved according to the Word of God. Now, that was the decision that she made from her heart. She exercised her will yesterday morning to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. So the heart is the totality of the innermost being where we can make decisions and from which we can determine by faith to believe or to reject the truths of the Word of God. So there is a definition of the word heart. Now you'll notice it also says, blessed are the pure in heart. Now let's take a moment to look at the word pure. A word that is not used much in our society. It seems like everything's tainted. And the devil would like us to think that everything is tainted. Thank God this morning this book is not tainted. It is perfect and pure. But God says that our hearts, through the book, can become purified. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now the word pure means no guile or integrity as opposed to duplicity. So a pure heart is a heart that is sincere and without hypocrisy. It is single-minded on God and on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not double-minded, if you will. Some of you will recall last year the highest ranking officer, or rather the most decorated officer in the history of our country, a man by the name of Admiral Borda, came under severe attack. And he was attacked especially by a man named Colonel Hackworth because Colonel Hackworth said that Admiral Borda was wearing some medals on his uniform that were not rightfully his. And Colonel Hackworth began an internet type of a campaign speaking out against Admiral Borda. And he said, those medals, he's not the most decorated man because some of those medals aren't really his. Some of you might remember a year ago Friday, the news reported that Admiral Borda, the highest decorated servant or officer in our military, committed suicide. The attack was so painful and so devastating, or maybe the hurt of all of that, and so he simply took his life as a way to escape the situation. Well, yesterday in the newspaper, it was reported that Colonel Hackworth, who was the finger pointer in the matter, has been also wearing numerous medals, which were not rightfully his medals. And after all, the story is turning out that he himself is far more guilty than the man that he was accusing. What is that? That is duplicity of heart. That is acting like you are a purist when in reality there's something in your life. That's acting like you're all right with God when you're not. That's acting like your marriage is great when it's not. That's acting like everything's okay in your relationship with the Lord when it's not. And so pure means no guile. Now, the Bible says in Jeremiah 32 and verse 39, God speaking to the children of Israel, he said these words. He said, "And I will give you one heart." One heart. God says, when you're right with me, there will be a single-mindedness. Your heart will pant and thirst for God. There will be the thoughts of God coming into your life throughout the day and throughout the week. You're thinking about God and asking often the question, what would Jesus do in this situation? God, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to respond to my wife in this case? And God, what do you want me to say to this man at work? And seeing God in situations throughout life, it's a purity. It's a single-heartedness. A pure heart is for God and God alone. The psalmist said it this way, one of my favorite verses in Psalm 57 and verse 7. He said, "My heart is fixed, God. My heart is fixed." In other words, his heart was firmly established into his relationship with God. One of the great challenges of our church and ministry and of your life as well should be to have a heart that's fixed, not being tossed to and fro, but a heart that's fixed and established in your relationship with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I like things that are fixed. And I find that when someone's heart is fixed with God, then there's some stability in their home, in their church, in their job. And I find that when our relationship is right with God this way, our relationships this way are going to work a lot better. And David said, "My heart is fixed." And I like things that are fixed. I remember a few years back getting on an airplane and the pilot came on and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be delayed from takeoff this afternoon." He said, "We have a light here in the cockpit telling us that there's some problems with possibly the fuel or the hydraulic system. And so we just want to take care of the problem." And I was, "Amen, take care of the problem." Never understand people on a plane. Some of these people already half drunk, you know. And they're, now they're complaining to the stewardesses. "Let's get this thing up in the air. Come on, I've got a schedule." I'm like, "Hey, shut up, man. Let's just stay right here and stay alive, amen. I'd rather be late to a meeting and be alive any day, amen." But people are funny that way. They get impatient. And the pilot said, "We've got to take care of the problem." It took quite some time. In fact, it took about 2 hours. After about 2 hours, they said, "All right, the plane is fixed." And sure enough, the plane took off and landed safely. And glory to God, everything worked out. Now, I like things that are fixed, don't you? I don't want to experiment. I don't want to be taking off in something that is not fixed. But you know, it's interesting, as we arrived at the airport and as we saw those dozens of airplanes, they all looked great to me. And when you look at the airplanes from the outside, they all look like sophisticated flying machines. But some of them have some internal problems that if they are not fixed, devastation will come. You know, sometimes when we come to church, everybody looks great to me. Everybody looks like a flying machine. Some of you have ties and Bibles and you look so nice and we try to do our best on the external, but God sees the heart. And sometimes we can get into this acting mode when in reality our heart is a heart of duplicity and not a heart of sincerity. So we see the definition of a pure heart. Now, I want you to notice secondly with me this morning the development of a pure heart. I hope that most of you this morning would say, "I want in my life to have a heart that's right with God, to have a pure heart." Now, how does that develop? How can that come about in my life? Now, I want you to notice some ways today that you can develop a pure heart. You may want to jot some scriptures down. How can I develop a single-minded heart, if you will, yielded to God? Letter A under this Roman numeral 2, understand that the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. Now the Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The heart is deceitful and above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now I want to tell you something this morning, gentlemen. Your gut feeling is not always the final authority. A lot of times Christians say, "I just feel a certain way. I just think this certain way, and I've got to go with my instincts." I want to tell you something. Sometimes your feelings and mine can trip us up. And the Bible says that sometimes our innermost being can be tainted, can even, according to the Bible, be deceitfully and desperately wicked. Now, we need to understand, first of all, that our heart, according to the Bible, can sometimes mislead us. And I want you to turn, if you would, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And let's notice another statement here about the heart. Because if we're going to develop a pure heart, you've got to understand that apart from God and His Word, our heart is deceitful. And we've got to see that initially. And I know some theologians would disagree with this statement, and they would disagree with the fact that man is a fallen creature. And thank God that we do have a new spirit or a new creation when we're saved, but we have the old flesh as well, a deceitful, wicked nature that will overtake and hinder our spiritual growth if we're not careful. And the Bible says in James chapter number 1 and verse 26, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own what? Heart. This man's religion is in vain." Now I want you to take note of the fact that our heart can deceive us and we can deceive our heart. We can, as it were, shoot our heart with Novocaine spiritually, giving ourselves the sensation that everything's okay when it's really not okay. And so we cannot judge our own selves and say that everything is just right. And so, in order to have a pure heart then, letter B, we need to put our heart on trial before God. And I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalm 139 and verse 23. We establish from the Word of God that our heart can sometimes mislead us. Sometimes our intellect can mislead our heart. Now, when we look at that truth in the Bible, we need to recognize then that if our heart is deceitfully wicked, then I need to put my heart before the Lord. Now listen. That's what we do when we come to God's house. We come to the house of God and we say, "Lord, here's my heart. I'm putting my heart before you. I want you to know that my heart is open towards you today." I hope that this morning, that if God speaks to your heart, that you'll do something about that. And we first say, "I see that my heart's deceitfully wicked, but Lord, I'm going to let you now put my heart on trial before you." And this is what the Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my what? Heart." And that's what a Christian should do on a regular basis. A Christian, as we are looking at all the external things, we need to stop looking at the budget sometimes and stop looking at the schedule and stop thinking about where we live or where we work and put all that aside for a minute and say, "Lord, I talk with you all the time about all my problems out here, but I just want to talk to you right now, Lord, about me, about my heart. Try my heart, Lord, because I know that my heart could be deceiving me. And Lord, I want you to try my heart, my innermost being, and Lord, see if there's any wicked way in me. And Lord, if you reveal that to me, I'm going to confess that and become right with you." And you see, this is how we develop a pure heart, by being honest and transparent with God. And so oftentimes in our lives, we have a lack of real vulnerability or transparency in our relationships, and we sort of feign like everything's great, and we do that with others to the point that we think we can do it with God.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the life God blesses. You know, the most blessed life is a life that's entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Lots of people are religious. Lots of people believe in God, but the Bible says the way to be born into Christ is to come to Him in faith, to trust Him, to acknowledge that you cannot save yourself, and to claim Him as your only Savior, to place 100% of your faith in Him. And friend, wherever you may be in this moment, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart to make that simple but important decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ. for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chapel and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chapel invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.